Hey there, this is your host, Andrea. I just wanted to ask you a question. Are you interested in being on a podcast? Do you want to share your amazing story with the world? Or are you interested in hosting a podcast yourself? Well, if you are, then we really recommend PodMatch. PodMatch works to ensure that well-suited guests, hosts, and collaborators can find you. With an easy filtering process where you can either match with a potential guest or you can pass. It's that easy. Don't have a podcast? Don't worry. You can be a guest on someone else's podcast and share your story with their audience. It's just a click away. Here at Direct Impact, we love the ease of using PodMatch and all the connections that we've been able to make through their platform. If this is something that piques your interest, tap this episode. Scroll down to the bottom of our show notes and click our link, joinpodmatch.com/directimpactpodcast to support the show. Again, that's joinpodmatch.com/directimpactpodcast. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Andrea Epting, and you are listening to the Direct Impact Podcast. On the Direct Impact Podcast, we explore all the many, many, many ways that we might enhance our mental health and leave a positive and life-giving impact in our wake. So today, I am very proud to reintroduce Dana Diaz. She is a wife, a mother, and author of the best-selling book, Gasping for Air, The Stronghold of Narcissistic Abuse. And she has been on our podcast before and did an amazing job. And so many of our betrayed partners have told me that they really enjoyed listening to that episode. And it really meant a lot to them. So thank you for sharing. So let's just dive into some of our questions, because I'm hoping that in the first episode, you know, our listeners and our audience, they were able to really hear the pain and the suffering and the characteristics of what comes out of narcissistic abuse and betrayal and the trauma that comes with it. But also I want them to hear, like, one, that they're not alone, but two, just like, what are some of the red flags and the warning signs? And is there a life after this type of abuse and betrayal? So welcome, Dana.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry to discuss such, you know, awful things, but I appreciate that we're trying to bring hope to people. And so, you know, the quick answer to everything you just put out there is yes, 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 and yes. So, so there is life afterward. And I want to give that hope to people.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you for your work and for your content that you've put out into the world, taking your hurt and your suffering and giving hope to others. I think that's what life's about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way I look at it is I don't ever want somebody to feel what I have felt or, you know, endure the pain afterwards, because that betrayal trauma is the worst thing ever. You know, the bruises heal, you know, other stuff you can get past more easily, but betrayal, when somebody says they love you and they do all these things that don't make sense of what love should be, it's hard to wrap your head around.
It really is. It really is. The confusion, I think, that ensues from that, when somebody says one thing and does the direct opposite at the same time.
Yeah. And the one thing that I have always, it's interesting because I knew this as a teenager innately, because I was raised by two narcissistic parents, which is the second book that just came out. But I always had this feeling that one of the worst pains you can feel is that you loved or cared about somebody more than they apparently cared or loved you. I mean, that's just, that's a hard thing to know, that you invested so much of yourself. You gave so much of yourself and the person thought so little of you that they could neither release you nor give you what you deserved. So yeah, it's tough. It can be tough. It really, really messes with you. That's not a very eloquent way to put it, but it really does. It the confusion, I mean, it causes the depression, the anxiety, you get the physical, you know, the migraines, the stomach aches, all this stuff. So it's a lot for people to try to understand, because I think people try to distract themselves, you know, with ideas that maybe they're just too sensitive, or maybe there's something wrong with them. They're broken or deficient in some way. And nobody is broken or deficient. We're just all trying to get through it and figure it out, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, you named some really powerful things there. And I heard you talk about like the pain of like investment, like how much energy and love and dedication and commitment, how much has been invested in relationships where none of that can possibly be reciprocated, and how long you try to get your needs met through somebody who can't do that. All right, guys, life can get hectic really fast. It feels like there's no time and we're always on the go. When you get overwhelmed with life's daily tasks, responsibilities, and unexpected challenges, important things like our health tend to fall to the wayside. Well, my friend, Healthy Cell is here to make taking care of yourself a priority. Healthy Cell makes getting back in the driver's seat much easier. They have an innovative approach to the pill format by using this awesome gel. This vitamin-packed, nutrient-dense gel can be taken by itself, mixed in your drink, or blended with your morning smoothie. Healthy Cell offers supplement packs to enhance your performance, focus, and well-being. Take control of your mental, physical, and physiological health with Healthy Cell. If this is something that you've been thinking about implementing, tap this episode, scroll to our show notes, and click the link for significant savings today. All right, click that link to support your health and our mission today. Now, enjoy the rest of the show.
And I think that, you know, I don't think I'm the only one that feels, or at least in my former marriage, I felt like, okay, I must not be doing enough to make him want to reciprocate the love, the kindness, the respect, you know, all these, the consideration, all these basic foundations of, I think we can, most of us can agree, are what a loving relationship should be, even a friendship, a family relationship. So it's like, I would do more, do more, do more. And I thought, if I did more than he has to, you know, it's kind of that yin and yang, that, you know, if there's a different action, it, you get a different reaction. That's just life. That's just physics even. So it makes me sad that in that marriage, I found myself, you know, because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what more I could do. I was trying so hard. I even, more than once, unfortunately, went on Google and did a Google search, how to be a better wife, how to make my husband love me more. And, you know, unfortunately, it took me 25 years, but I kind of finally got the hint that there is just nothing more I could have done. Mm-hmm. I could have been, quote unquote, perfect, the perfect wife, the perfect mother. It would never have been enough. And for me personally, this was a struggle that I had in my childhood. And basically the premise of that book is that there was nothing I could ever do. I was the scapegoat child. I was the child that was not wanted, whereas my brother was very much wanted. You know, I could not be any more than what they decided that I should be. And so it was never going to be enough. And there you go. It's a hard thing to understand.
You hit the negative core belief. And I love that you've been able to identify that, yes, this negative core belief followed me into this narcissistic
100%.
relationship. But the negative core belief of I'm not and never going to be enough.
Exactly.
And that not enough, it continues to fuel that need to be more than enough, to be superhuman. And if I do all of this, then my needs will get met. And unfortunately, addiction, deception, narcissism, it defies the laws of physics, right?
It really does.
No matter how much you invest, it's going to take it all and then some.
100%.
Yeah.
But as a child, it's hard not to want to get your parents' approval, especially when they're giving it to, you know, in my case, my sibling, just not me. It would be different if I was the only child and they were just terrible parents. But the fact that they could be good parents to another child, that shows that it was a choice. But it's the same thing in a romantic relationship. And it's a very unfortunate that I'm 48 years old and I'm still, you know, I think we come to certain times in our life where something, you know, things poke at it sometimes, kind of like when you poke a bruise and you're like, oh, why do I do that? You know, it's going to hurt, but then you leave it alone. Like, oh, we're just going to not worry about it and move on. But then there's times in your life, like when I did write that second book, basically as an answer to the first book of how does somebody end up in this kind of adult romantic relationship where you, I mean, forgive me, but you're basically allowing the treatments because, you know, as you mentioned in the beginning, it's, you know, what are the red flags? I have found out that I can list a million narcissistic qualities and qualities of abusive people. But guess what? What I have found, we are the red flag. We are the red flag because I have a sister, but by our biological father, she was raised by two parents who loved her very much, wanted her. She's confident. She has very good self-esteem, very intelligent. She wouldn't have given my ex-husband 2 seconds of her time. She would have known very clearly, you are crossing my boundaries. Mm-hmm. I have boundaries. This is not acceptable to me. Thank you. Well wishes, but moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I was that, okay, well, this doesn't feel good. And you remind me of my abusive stepfather, but I really am desperate for somebody to love me. It doesn't even matter who, but okay. Kind of like that puppy that's eager for that treat, just like shaking, you know, when they shake.
Yeah.
They're rambling because they need it so desperately that they will do anything. And it's so sad to me that, you know, I was raised basically primed to be in a marriage like that, in a romantic relationship like that. But thank God that, you know, I am self-aware enough that I was able to figure out, okay, this is the thing. So yes, that not good enough feeling, that deficiency that we feel, that core, boy, it's like digging up a rose bush. I don't know if anyone's ever done that, but it's an awful, awful thing because it's not as easy as digging up other plants. You keep thinking you're getting to the bottom and it just keeps, and it hurts and it's awful, that healing and going through the therapy and discovering all these other things that it exposes. But it's so necessary because we need to come to terms that it's okay if we're not enough for those people. We're not going to be good enough for everybody.
Nobody would be enough for certain.
No. And we might
and
be
personality.
Too. I have encountered, right. And I have encountered some people that I'm too much for. They say I'm too much. I'm over the top. You're so, you know, but somewhere in the middle, it's amazing. But there's people who think I'm just fine. There's a just right. And those are our people. But this is something we need to really understand so that we don't feel badly about ourselves, so that we don't internalize it. Yes, it's awful when your own mother rejects you and you're estranged from your own parents and family goes with them. And then there's this grief and how do you not feel like it's not you? You're the common denominator in every relationship that, you know, goes sour. But I think it's because we carry all these things with us. And I hate to say, you know, it's like some vibe or energy we put out. And then we have these little characteristics and it comes off awkward or weird or whatever. And people don't know how to receive us, but we're not even sure about ourselves. We're not sure where we fit, where we belong, who we even are sometimes. So it's so essential to get to the point where you're ready. And I think that's the key. You have to be actually ready to do the work because it's not about going every Tuesday at 2 o'clock to talk to somebody. There is work involved outside of working with your therapist or whatever, life coach, whoever you decide to help you. there is a lot of work, a lot of inner reflection, a lot of honesty with yourself. You have to be like raw as far as how you acknowledge your feelings, even the bad ones, even the things you don't like about yourself. You have to open that all up so that you can fully embrace who you are and be okay with who you are.
But I love how you've been able to identify that there is an inner child and other mm-hmm. parts of self that go into these relationships with you and are trying to heal in these relationships, but oftentimes they just get re-injured and re-wounded because they haven't healed, you know, been healed yet. And they're still continuing to look for other people and other relationships to heal them. And that's not the way it works.
No, it's mm-hmm. not. We have to figure out how to do it ourselves. And mm-hmm. and I'm going to say this, we talk about inner child stuff a lot. People hear this a lot. You know, maybe I have multiple personalities, but I think there are different aspects of our personality. But for me, it was finding out there was that little 4 or 5 year old little girl who was just really sad that her mom couldn't be affectionate, that her mom wouldn't love her. And she's okay. She's also probably the girl that is now remarried to a man that's much older. And, you know, yeah, we got some daddy issues, but you know what? I'm in a very loving and healthy, dare I say, relationship. But the one that I'm really struggling with is I have this angry 15-year-old that when she got to that age and realized she was being mistreated and stood up for herself and paid the consequences of that, she never got justice. Child services turned their back on her. The police turned their back on her. People were seeing what was happening, neighbors, teachers, all these people. And just, you know, back then you didn't talk about it. Shh, we don't talk about that. Don't say anything. That's not nice. And she's pissed. She's pissed.
And rightfully so. That's the one.
Right. But it's interesting because what I struggle with, and I think a lot of people can understand this, if you have that angry teenager inside of you, anger scares the heck out of me because in my childhood and in my previous marriage, when emotions escalate, oh my gosh, it's that fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And I've always said, I'm a runner. I get the heck out of there at the first sign of anger. So to acknowledge that I'm angry, I remember the first time my therapist said, I think you have a lot of unresolved anger. I'm like, I'm not angry. It's bad to be angry. Oh no, that's scary. I'm not angry. That's not who I am. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm angry.
Yeah, but you just hit the nail on the head there when you said it's bad to be angry. That's why it was repressed. That's why it was suppressed because mm-hmm. feelings are all healthy, natural, amazing, wonderful. But when we have feelings about our feelings, when we have assigned some kind of role to these feelings, then they can get a little unhealthy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. They bite you in the butt is exactly what happens. But you have to learn to confront them, face them. But I think the biggest part of any of this is to forgive yourself. I honestly don't believe that forgiving other people is necessary for your healing. I think the most important person to forgive is yourself, to give yourself that grace to say, I am not perfect. Apparently, I have qualities that they have too. And I would even go so far as to say, and this was brought up to me in one of my sessions, is that you cannot hate somebody and reject them when they have hated and rejected you, especially when that's your mother and that's your father and people that you are actually a product of, whether you like it or not, rejecting them is rejecting part of yourself. And so you have to learn to forgive yourself for not being perfect, give yourself the grace to not be perfect, but also be, you know, aware enough to know that if this is not something that makes you feel good, if this is not something that shows up in your relationships in a healthy way, if it deters you in some way, then you need to find a way to resolve it. You need to figure that out.
That's right. So you've already mentioned probably about 30, if I replayed this, but I'd like for you to name a few, just like in your opinion, some key characteristics or virtues, so positive qualities that narcissists generally prey upon.
Take a moment to listen to your gut. What's it saying?
It's saying, help me, help me.
How do we help our gut and its fragile ecosystem? How about introducing a prebiotic? Maybe you're thinking, another vitamin I have to remember to take every day. Hold on, wait, there's an easier way. Why not drink your prebiotic with Olipop? Olipop is a new kind of soda that combines various ingredients like cassava and kudzu root to create a healthier alternative to sugary sodas. Yuck, we're getting rid of those sugary sodas this year. And Olipop supports your digestive and your gut health. It's yummy and it supports our gut health. Let's take the challenge and listen to our guts this year. Click on the Olipop link in our show notes and use code DIRECTIMPACT at checkout to get 15% off your order today. You'll thank me. Now scroll down, click on the Olipop link in our show notes and use code DIRECTIMPACT. All together now, DIRECTIMPACT. Use that code at the checkout to get 15% off your Olipop order today.
For somebody who's vulnerable, that's the key thing. If they see a slight crack in it in your facade where there's a little room for them to stick their claws in, they are looking for somebody who feels that feeling of not being enough, that is missing love, that is missing feeling like they belong or they're a part of something, because essentially a narcissist wants you all to themselves. They want you basically to serve them, serve their ego. They don't want you to have family and friends, you know, so I've noticed this as well. They do look for people who come from, I don't even like saying this word, but broken homes, but that's a common phrase. But yeah, they look for people that are even more kind of loners, you know, somebody that, you know, they feel won't have the influence of others, of friends or a mom or somebody saying, oh no, that person's not so good for you. But all in all, vulnerable. They like that vulnerability because you're also very eager. They know that you're going to be eager to attach to somebody, because let's be real, we all want connection, don't we? That's a basic human need, is to feel like we are connected to another human being, that we are close with that human being. We have this fantasy about soulmates and twin flames and all these things. We want that person. So, you know, it's somebody who they perceive as being flawed enough that they can isolate, solely influence, and basically keep all to themselves.
So dependence, someone who will become
dependent. Oh, 100%. Yeah, because they don't want somebody that's going to leave them. They want you to stay. Even when things get really, really bad, they need to know you're going to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're highlighting the importance of being an emotionally independent, functional adult. Because a narcissist would run for the hills if they encountered someone like that, right?
Exactly. Like I used my sister as an example before, but it's funny because when my ex-husband, when we were still married and he first met my sister, oh, I don't like her. I don't like her. Well, of course he didn't like her because she was, yeah, exactly what you just said. Very intelligent, very secure, very confident, and he knew if I was close with her, if I spent too much time with her, it might be contagious. Mm. Just like our neighbor, when we got a new neighbor, oh, I don't like that new neighbor. It's funny, I liked her a lot. I was very excited to make this connection. But you want to talk about a strong woman, strong-willed woman over there, and she didn't like him either. So yeah, they sniff that out and that scares them. So they don't want you having anything to do with that, nor do they want to be with somebody that's like that.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. And I think if our audience hears one thing, I mean, it's like, these are the things that we're working towards, is emotional independence and strength.
Yes.
And autonomy and, you know, our own integrity, so that, you know, we're not susceptible to somebody, you know, like that. I keep saying that over and over, that just finding our own authenticity and personal strength to stand in, you know, it allows you to guard against some dysfunction, because especially when you grow up in a dysfunctional family system, it's just very easy. It's almost like a moth to a flame. You get pulled towards this type of energy. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Because I can honestly say this, is that I remember even in high school, there were a couple nice boys that asked me on dates, and I wanted with the one so badly. He's just a nice guy. I didn't know what to do with that though. So I said, no, I went for the bad boys. I went for the guys that were treating me like crap, that talked down to me and were rude to me, because I knew how to navigate that. To me, unfortunately, that felt like love, because at home I was being told I love you, followed by unloving behavior. And so I thought that's what love was. I thought that was the same thing. In fact, my mother would even tell me oftentimes, well, your stepfather is, well, it was abuse, but he's treating you that way because he cares so much about you. She actually said that to me many times. So even though it didn't make sense, and even though I called her out on it as I got to be a teenager and it didn't sound right, I internalized it because that is what I knew. And even now with my husband that I'm married to now, he grew up in a nice home, doesn't understand any of this, but he's very gracious with me. But there have been times early in our relationship that I mean, I remember once, it was the first time I started some arguments over a bottle of ketchup. It was the dumbest thing that any objective person looking in, they would have thought she's nuts. But you know what it was? I can honestly say it was too good. Things were too calm. We got along too well. We didn't have disagreements. We didn't have conflict. Even when we did, you know, have something we did disagree on, it wasn't a thing. It wasn't an issue. We could have a normal, mature talk about it, maybe even still disagree at the end and still be laughing and loving each other. But I needed chaos. I needed to start trouble because to me, I needed to feel that conflict in order to feel loved.
Yeah.
And it was a bottle of ketchup.
Thank you for that. I think that is a great illustration on how in a dysfunctional family system, you relate intensity to connection. And yes. I talk to men and women all the time where they feel like these healthy relationships are so vanilla. They're so boring. I'm not getting my needs met. Yeah. And it's like, okay. And it's because the intensity is not there. And you were, you know, programmed to believe that that intensity equaled some type of love or care or concern.
And exactly. It's hard. I'm still undoing it, but there are times like I just sometimes literally stop myself and say, we don't do that anymore, Dana. We don't do that. And, you know, my husband thankfully gets that sometimes I just have to, you know, just take a minute because I know I'm going down that road I've always gone down, but it's not worth it. I'm still navigating this new territory where we don't have to argue and have conflict and people don't have to do, you know, bad things to each other in order to feel love. And so if you can find a person that gets that and supports you through it, because it's a very conscious effort, even through all the therapy and all the healing, it'll still creep up on you once in a while. And you just have to be aware and just stop yourself, take a breath and move on. You know, you don't need that in your life. And no, we don't want that either, but we just don't know any other way.
And let's give ourselves grace for the default modes that we've been, that have been programmed in us. Like we always have like, oh, I'm going to default to this. But like you said, you can learn to recognize and pull yourself back and lean on your skills and the new information you've gotten. So,
yeah, exactly. I always look at it in my mind. I like to hike. I like nature. So in my mind, I actually visualize a path where, you know, that divides into two different directions. Mm-hmm. The direction I've always gone, which in my head is, you know, very woodsy and dark and whatever. And the other path where I see light ahead and there's sunshine and rainbows and everything else. And so it's like, I'm going down that dark. And then I'm like, nope, we want to go down that way. Let's switch it up a bit. So, you know, if that helps anybody, sometimes just visualizing, you know, or which door to go through or whatever it is, just remind yourself that it's okay to go the other direction. Worst case, you can go back the other way, but try a new route because, you know, that path less traveled usually leads to new and exciting things that may be different, but they might be better.
Yeah, it's hard work and worth it at the same time. So I think that takes us to our last question, Dana, which is, you know, taking the pain and the suffering and using the trauma to grow and to go down the road less traveled. What are some things that you have done, and how have you achieved some traumatic growth?
Oh, there's a lot to that one. Things I have done. I think it's just giving yourself time. Don't force yourself and don't pressure yourself. If you're not, you could go to therapy and work with somebody for months and feel like you're not making progress, but you're making progress if you're still working hard at it. But again, I go back to being honest with yourself, being realistic, about what you can handle. There are days where I know it's just, I didn't get much sleep or whatever it is, where it's just like, you can only do so much. So maybe on those days, I don't need to work so hard. And maybe on those days, I don't need to pressure myself to do that work with the inner child or read the book that was suggested or, even help counsel others on that day because I'm not doing the best. So, I always tell people, it's kind of like when you're on the airplane and they say, if the oxygen mask falls down, put it on yourself first, and then, put it on your favorite kid or your spouse or whatever it is. And you do have to just take care of yourself. I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned, that it's not selfish to do that, because I think especially when we come from these dysfunctional families and then, we have a failed marriage that, maybe was toxic, we just give, because we're still, part of us is still looking for that external validation, somebody to be approving of us, somebody to love us, a place to belong. And we need to remember, we need to just slow down sometimes and just say, okay, today is not my best day. I am not going to be as productive as I can be. I'm not going to be the best wife, the best mother, whatever, unless I take care of me. And I think part of that too is remembering to do the things that bring you joy. You don't have to distract yourself and be busy with work and the house and the kids and all the stuff all the time and please everybody else. Sometimes you just need to stop and just be and be playful and laugh and smile, because, what's the point of life if we're not even happy? And it's hard to do this work and do all this stuff and not have those moments of joy that you're allowing yourself. So,
and I love that. As we bleed into kind of like a call to action for our audience, because I think we do start to realize traumatic growth when there is that joy and that play, and yes, you start to allow things. It's just you allowing things to be easier. Yes.
And that is the key word, is allowing, because I even know I wouldn't allow it. I was the girl that went to parties and barbecues because I wanted to be part of something, but I would wash the dishes or clean things up because I didn't know how to interact with, I don't know how to let people in or let them see who I was, because I just assumed that they wouldn't like me, because how could they if my own mother didn't? And if my ex had found so much fault, how could anyone? So I just kind of hid in my own little world and I didn't let anybody in. It's that guard we put up. We don't trust that other people's might like us, and we don't trust ourselves sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's easier said than done. I think it is really important, though, especially when you've grown up in a family system where you've been programmed that your worth only comes from meeting the needs of others. Yes. And if I meet the needs of others, then I'm okay. Then I'm going to be okay. Then I'll be taken care of. It becomes critical that play and joy and just doing something for the sake of you wanting to do it is so huge. I asked a client, a few weeks ago, I've been actually giving this assignment out lately. It's like, go to the trampoline park.
Yes. And that's actually loads of fun.
Go jump, go play in the balls, go, take a friend, throw the balls at people, splash in a puddle. Just when it crosses your mind to be playful, be willing to do it. Because for a lot of people, there is a great deal of resistance to having fun, to having play, to having to allowing it to be easy. And so
100%.
A phenomenal call to action, I think, for our audience.
Yes.
When you start to realize traumatic growth, you have joy in your heart. That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. you know, where can our listeners find you? And give us the title of your new book coming out. Or the
yeah, absolutely. Second book is called Choking on Shame, The Scapegoat Child in a Narcissistic Family. Yeah, it's a rough one. It's pretty intense. I've had many people say that after the first couple chapters, they need to stop and take a minute and breathe. So it's an intense ride, but, you know, definitely brings some understanding to, you know, how narcissism can play out in a family and where you are the only child that is treated this way, which, you know, isn't a dynamic that everybody experiences. But people can find me on my website, danasdiaz.com. Links to Facebook and Instagram are there. Links to the book are both of the books are there. Otherwise, Amazon is everybody's go-to. You can get both books and ebook on Kindle as well. So I encourage anybody, if they have any questions or want to reach out also, just message me, email me through the website. I do respond to everything personally. So I do like to hear feedback. And if I'm able to help anyone in any way, I can direct them to whatever resources.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana. And we're going to link to every bit of that in our show notes and make sure that all of our listeners can have access to you. And I hope that y'all use Dana as a resource, because I mean, like, she's been there, she's been through it.
Yes.
She's come through. So please do lean on her for that. So thank you so much, Dana. Today you have made a direct impact.
Thank you.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact. Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epstein. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist. And I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today. Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. iBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great! iBuyDirect has you covered too, with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style. Do you like premium brands? I do. iBuyDirect carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the iBuyDirect link in our show notes and get affordable custom eyewear today. Hello. Hey there. Yeah, you. The one who's been consuming, absorbing, enjoying, and implementing our weekly content like a ravenous animal and can't wait to get more. We want to give you more of what you crave. So become a supporting member of the show and ensure that the content you hunger for is served fresh weekly. I know. It's free content and we love offering it. But it's not free to create, only to consume. So please consider our monthly membership offered through Patreon.
Monthly membership includes access to useful life-enhancing PDFs with higher-level offerings in the works to include chats with Andrea, customized playlists, and more. Scroll down to our show notes and visit our website at www.lightninginabottle.biz/podcast. Visit us today and support the show.